Welcome back to Very Good Enough, Bonus Friday Edition. I'm Lane Dealing Trilland, and today we're going to answer a question that is totally not within my expertise, that is going to be really me speaking from my personal thoughts and personal opinions, reflecting on what I do know as someone who's worked with families for a long time, and just as a human being person. But I want to put a big old disclaimer right here at the front that I am not a marriage and family therapist. I am an age group expert. My age group is actually both younger and older than the children who are involved in this question. But the question was sent in. I think it's an interesting one, and I care about this person and am going to share some thoughts for them. And I would love to invite you all further into this conversation. This is another question that came in through our podcast email address, which is verygoodenoughpod@gmail.com. And if you all have thoughts at the end of this episode for this person, if you have encouragement for them, if you have further information, feel free to send those in. We would love for this to become more conversational and a little bit more of a community interaction. But without further ado, and all of that said, this is the question that the email says. I'm 32. I have an 8-month-old daughter. I live with my long-term partner, who is her father. He has 2 children, aged 12 and 8, that primarily live with their mother, but we have them every other weekend. Though my partner and I have had a multitude of opportunities to better co-parent, there has been no success. We don't agree with the bad habits that they acquire while with their mother, and have set boundaries at our house as best we can for the small amount of time they're with us. My question is, do you have any advice on dealing with a tricky co-parenting relationship? And also, how do I protect my own daughter from picking up any of these habits from her siblings? So there's a lot in there, and I am sure that now that you've heard the question, you understand my disclaimer a little more clearly. First things first, let's just put to bed any real significant concern that your infant daughter is going to take on habits that are displeasing to you based on her much, much, much older half siblings. She is going to be so small for their whole lives while they are so big. And of course, the people in your environment have an effect on you, but really how she's going to experience them is mostly just like big, fun people sort of bounding through her life. She's going to be a little bit of a toy to them, a little bit of like a sweet little pet. And that's kind of all. She's going to mostly experience her life as primarily an only child, especially if these siblings are just popping into her life twice a month. Because of the differences in the developmental stages and the infrequency, I don't think that these are going to be people who have a super huge effect on her like daily habits, if you know what I mean. Of course, they could be people who she has a really rich and robust relationship with later in life. She may start to really draw on them when she's more of an adolescent and she's looking for some of those kind of secondary adults that we all look for, where our parents are our primary people, but when we're starting to like really differentiate from them in adolescence, we look to some other adults who are close to us or in our proximity, but not exactly our parents. That may be a time when they really come into play in her life in a much bigger way. Your daughter's habits and development are going to be primarily affected by the environment that she's in really consistently. And it sounds like you have pretty much total control over that environment at the moment. Now, your daughter will definitely be affected by tension in her environment and by conflict in her environment and by the relationships that she observes. So while I don't feel immediately super concerned about her picking up like behavioral habits from them, it certainly will benefit her if you are able to build strong, smooth, calm, connected, communicative relationships with these other children and live in a way that is peaceful with their mother. That sort of leads me to my next thing, which is that you don't necessarily need to be super connected to this other parent. Co-parenting is an ideal. If it's possible, it's really cool for parents who are separated to be able to provide what they call continuity of care between homes, where there's like an agreed upon set of rules and children get to experience consistency, even though they change spaces pretty frequently. Like that's a lovely ideal and something to totally work for if it's available and if it's possible, but it's very much not the only option. I don't know if you have ever spent any time or if you're familiar with the term parallel parenting, but if you're not, that's definitely something to take a little look at and just read about a little bit more. Parallel parenting is recommended in circumstances where there is high conflict or just very high contrast between lifestyles. In the most extreme cases, like this is what you do when there has been domestic abuse or when there's like really, really acrimonious relationship between the separated parents. Obviously, I don't know anything about your life details beyond what's in these emails, but that might be a little bit more of the concept for yourself right now. Sometimes that's the long-term solution. And sometimes it's a temporary bridge towards something that can be a little bit more connected and consistent between these children's two different environments. But parallel parenting is it's where parents really don't have very much contact with one another at all outside of like logistical necessities. The two homes are not conjoined and information doesn't pass very freely between the adults. There's just a respectful, let's call it like a fence. Have you ever heard the term good fences make good neighbors? Sometimes drawing clear lines and just knowing like, well, it's really murky when we try to go back and forth here. Let's just go ahead and separate this. In one home, they will have one way of being, and in our home, they will have a different way of being. Perhaps it's not possible at this time to provide consistency between their two environments. So maybe it would be a good idea to just turn your focus toward like, how do I just make my environment consistent for them? Always when you're here, it's like this. I don't worry about your other life and I don't worry about your mom and I don't spend my time, I don't spend my energy toward trying to build a reciprocal relationship with someone when that's not available. I'll just focus on things being very clear and easy to understand and consistent for you when you're here. I would strongly encourage you to not be referencing their mom all that much when they're with you, and when you do speak of her, to be brief and very respectful, even vague and very respectful. It will never, ever, ever serve you to be speaking in any way negatively or negatively reflecting on like their sort of other life. And maybe that seems a little bit obvious, but in practice, it can be really hard to do. I know it can be really hard when there's someone who has such an effect on your life in a way that is just not what you want. It can just be very, very, very hard to be respectful about them. But I would encourage you to do so as much as you possibly can, because that's gonna go a long way inside of your own heart in just being like, this person over here is challenging for me. And that's okay. I'm just gonna move them over as far as they can go and move forward with forgiveness. And just, I'm just gonna keep my side of the fence clean and, you know, send a little blessing their way. Now, in terms of making things consistent in your home for these kids, I would encourage you to think in terms of boundaries and not in terms of rules. And the difference being, rules are a list of things that the other person has to do, where boundaries are just a statement of what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to take your shoes off before you come into my house each time, because that's how I protect my carpets. Not, you have to take your shoes off when you get here. I'm just gonna ask you, hey, would you mind taking your shoes off? Thanks. I am going to serve nutritious food at dinner, and I am not going to make extra things. This is what I made for dinner. I made dinner, and now I'm going to sit down and enjoy dinner with my family. Not, you have to eat what I made. Do you know what I mean? There's a gentle difference there where you're just stating how things function in your life and what you are going to do in this or that circumstance. It's not a list of demands for the other person. So in terms of bad habits that they acquire at their mother's house, I wouldn't be referencing those hardly at all. I would simply be restating how things work in my home clearly, really consistently, and having a plan for what I'm going to do if things go differently. I think the more neutral that you and your husband can be about this, especially knowing that it's been challenging and charged in the past, the better. It seems like you have a really big task of having to navigate and regulate through some like very hard emotions. Like, this is not easy stuff that you're laying out here. But the more that you can come to a place of like sort of serenity prayer style, like help me to accept the things I cannot change and change the things I can vibes, like the more acceptance that you can have over the things that are out of your control. These are not little kids. These are kids who have already formed a lot of the way that they're going to be. And the more that you can just accept them exactly as they are while still being clear and consistent with like, this is how I'm going to be in our relationship. This is how I'm going to run my house. And I have so much compassion for you. I understand the way that you are. I'm not going to lose my cool with you. Even when you're an agent of chaos in my life, I'm going to maintain clarity with you. I'm going to maintain my own calm. If I need to take a walk with my baby because this is feeling like it's a little too much, I'm going to just let your dad know that I'm tapping out, take a little walk with my baby. And I'm going to come back with a little bit of a cooler head. And I'm sure that a lot of the charged feelings and a lot of the challenge here comes from, you know, like really loving these kids and like really wanting to support them in like living their best life and feeling like, dang, this is like not as good as it could be for them. And I just want to acknowledge how painful that is and encourage you to just trust that their story and their journey is their own. And you get to be a force for good in their life in the small part of it that you're able to affect. And that can go a long way and that can have a really huge impact. Like it is very much possible for you to have a beautiful, loving, connected relationship with these kids, even as their more primary parent is influencing them in ways that you don't appreciate. I think my final piece of encouragement would just be that you maybe think about this as sort of like a meandering river, you know, like slow changes in a better direction and trying things and then having to double back and try some things a different way, because this is not a very straightforward or simple thing that you're doing. It's complicated, but it's very, very worthwhile. So those are my thoughts on that one. I wish I was a marriage and family therapist. I wish I had like a multitude of clear expert things to say about this. But what I have is a lot of love and support to send to you. And I have this beautiful community whom I'm calling on. If you all, again, have any advice or encouragement or thoughts for this person, if you would send them in to us, I would happily pass them along. Thanks for listening, you guys. Jess and I will see you again on Tuesday. I hope you have a beautiful weekend.